Okay, we're looking at Ephesians, and let us start by reading verse 1 and 2 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time when we met, we looked at the first part of verse 1. We learn about the sender, Paul, and how he understands who he is and how he understands who this recipient of this letter are, and how he understands the blessings that comes from God to these people. Now, rather than repeating what I said last time, let's go to the next section. The second part of verse 1. To the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, who are the recipients? They are the members of the Ephesian church. They are Christians. And in this verse, Paul describes the Christians as three things, as we seen last time. First, they are the saints, because he calls them saints, to the saints. And second thing that is true of these recipients is that they are faithful. And we need to understand what that means. And third thing, they are in Christ, right? So from this, then, again, if it is nothing to do with us, then there's no point of learning. I don't want you to study Bible and then you understand certain things that Bible teaches us. So that is some kind of teaching, and that has nothing to do with you. Somehow it is so foreign to you. If that is so, then what's the point of learning? Unless it is about us, unless it is true of us, then who cares? I mean, that's how I feel. Because God's word is never like that. It's always relevant to us. We don't have to make it relevant. See, that's the false understanding of certain teachers. That somehow their job is to make it relevant to you. Somehow that I need to do that. No. Word is, by definition, God's word is relevant to you if you're a Christian. Understand that fact? It's a very, very important fact for you to understand. If it is God's word, it is relevant to you because you are God's children. Because these things is about Christ and is about you, God's children, true Israel. So, I'm not here trying to make this thing, the old text, 2,000 years old or 3,000 years old, and here I am, you know, trying to make this relevant to you today. That's not my job. But understand, when it says to the saints, you are the saints. Because you are a member of God's church. So, you are saints. What does that mean? We need to understand when God calls us saints. Well, we need to understand what that means so that we will understand who we are. I am saint. Well, what does that mean? Okay? Well, saints literally means holy ones. You are holy ones. Holy means two things, at least two things in the Bible. One, meaning you already know, morally clean. Or you could say in other ways, but that you are morally clean, holy person. But the second meaning of this word, holy, it is to be set apart. So you are holy, you are saints, means you are set apart ones. Well, I gave this example, I think, long time ago. When we set apart a certain things, we do so with a purpose. You're not going to set certain thing apart without purpose. That will be meaningless. Why do you even set apart something from other things if there's no purpose for it? So let's say I have $100 and I set apart $10 to buy a book. I set $10 apart from this other $90 for a purpose. God did the same to you. He set you apart from other people in this world for a purpose. That's what it means to be saints. Set apart ones. Now, when God sets apart anything, then He sets it apart for the purpose of using whatever that He is setting it apart for His own glory, to be used in serving and worshiping Him, Himself. That's why we are able to call a mountain, holy mountain. Because if you understand holy in only one way, like morally clean, then calling a mountain, holy mountain, doesn't make any sense. How can mountain be morally clean? Now, when Bible calls Mount Sinai holy mountain, it means that that mountain is set apart by God to be used for Him, for Himself, His glory. That's why we call that mountain holy mountain. The church is then a congregation of holy ones, a congregation of saints. You are a saint. Bible calls you saint. It is a congregation of set apart ones. But the question now then is this: for what purpose are you set apart from the rest of the world? If you are indeed saints, if you are indeed set apart ones, then for what purpose do you think you are set apart? I mean, the answer is very clear. It's for His purpose. It's for His glory. To be used in serving and worshiping God. You are set apart from this world. And that is first thing you need to understand. If you are set apart, then there's certain group that you are set apart from. Which means you have now a different purpose than the one that you have been set apart from. You need to understand, just by understanding yourself as holy ones or saints, there are a lot of things that is implying. Which means if you are set apart for certain purpose, which is to glorify God, then your purpose and this other group that you have been set apart from, their purpose and your purpose are not the same anymore. Because you have been set apart for a different purpose. I set those $10 apart for to buy a book. That does not mean that with $90 I'm going to buy a book. No, I have different purpose for these. So you have to understand, if you have been set apart from this world, now you have different purpose than the world. You cannot live as if you still belong to that world, even though God set you apart from it. That's what it's to mean by saying that we are saints. First Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race. Now that word choosing, chosen race, is very important. Because that's related to setting you apart. That you are chosen from this group to be set apart. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, set apart nation. You are different from other nations. A people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. According to this verse, what is your purpose? What was God's purpose in setting you apart? What was God's purpose in choosing you as a holy nation? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of God who has called you out of darkness. Your job is to proclaim the excellencies of God. Your job is to witness God, how good He is, how wonderful He is. That's your job. And the worst thing you could do as a holy one is being sad and being miserable. Because what are you saying? I am set apart by God with this glorious purpose, but you're sad. You're miserable. That you don't like yourself. You don't like your life. Then how are you going to proclaim the excellencies of God? How are you going to show the world how wonderful God is and how wonderful His salvation is if you're sad and you're miserable? That would be the worst thing you could do. You are chosen by God and set apart by God. You are the holy ones. You are the saints of God. Not because you are worthy. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the worthiness of you because you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. But the fact is that God has chosen you to be holy ones. And you accepted that truth. You say you believe it. You have been chosen because of what Christ has done for you. You have been chosen in Christ. Now you have become holy ones because of what He has done for you. He lived that perfect righteous life for you. He died for your sins. That's how you have been. You have become the holy ones. So understand, even God choosing you is in Christ. And we're going to learn about that a little bit later in this chapter in more detail. But I want you to understand this, that you have been set apart from this world. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself, Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and the Father. Now, not only that, you got to understand two things at least here. Not only you understand for what purpose you have been set apart, but you got to understand from what you have been set apart. You have been set apart from this world. He rescued you out of this world. Thus, you do not belong to this world. John chapter 15 verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. He has been chosen you out of the world. Don't go out there. Don't go to your school. Don't go to your job. And I'm thinking, how come everybody's against me? How come everybody don't like me? You don't know? What do you expect? You want the world to love you? Is that what you really want? Is that your goal? Go out and get approval from this world? If the world says you're all right, you go, okay, thank you. No, be very, very concerned if the world says you're okay. Then something is really wrong with you as a Christian if the world says you're okay. Of course you're not going to be okay in the world. You have been set apart. What do you think? Of course this world will not like you, how you think and what you think. They're not going to understand. They're not going to like it. And that is not your job. I don't know, man. Some Christians, they're just like dogs going to this master called world and just want to get the master's approval and just, oh, give me that little bone, please. No, not like that. We don't need their approval. Why do we need their approval? Only approval you need is from God. That's how Jesus lived. Everybody hated him. They killed him. But he kept trusting the Father. And looking only for his approval. And that's what it means to be holy ones, saints. We're chosen out of this world. Colossians 1:13 says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, that you have been delivered into the kingdom of God? That you have been made citizens of heaven? That's what being a holy one is all about. You have been set apart from the world and you have made to be God's own possession. Holy ones of God. You have to understand this. Otherwise, you don't even know what you're doing out there. You don't understand your life. And when you are confused about what kind of life is your life, you will be confused about everything. But understand, he calls you saints. You have been set apart from this world to come out from the world and come out to God. You belong to Him. You don't belong to this world anymore, but you are belonging to God now. You are His people. Now understand, when you go out to this world and you start thinking and you start saying things according to the Bible, and people, you realize, you're surprised. People just don't accept that. People actually hate what you're saying. And you don't be surprised by that. That's how it is. Actually be surprised if you are well received. Then you really need to be concerned about yourself. Of course, you know, I'm not talking about you just, you're a mean person and you just, you know, if world hates you because you deserve it, I mean, that's not what we're talking about. But understand the fact that you have been chosen out of this world so that you don't belong to the world, so that world will not accept you. That's the fact. And we actually rejoice because of it. Because that just proves that I now belong to God. That I am indeed set apart one. It proves it. Don't go out and beg this world to accept you. Please. That's the worst thing you could ever done as a holy ones of God. World doesn't deserve you. This whole world is not worthy of you. It doesn't deserve holy ones like you. It's their greatest blessing that you, holy ones, are living in this world. God's great present to this world, you are. They should beg you. But obviously that will not. But you don't beg them. Because you are holy ones of God. You should be proud of this. That God has chosen you out of this world. That it should be the most precious. Be happy that God accepts you. Don't be happy because good college accepted you. Don't be happy that good company accepted you. Don't be happy about, be happy that God has accepted you. That He has chosen you. Man, I get really frustrated because Christians, you know, fact that God has chosen him doesn't do anything to him, but the world, oh, world chose me. You know, they accept me. Then they're happy. As if God's choosing has nothing to do with their happiness. To show the whole world that God is nothing. Worst kind of life for a holy ones to live. Go show how important God is to you. How important His acceptance of you. Why are you so sad when God accepts you? Just because world doesn't accept you? Just because good college doesn't accept you? Just because good company doesn't accept you? Are we that pathetic as Christians? You should be very proud. You know, people who are accepted by like Harvard, they're so proud. Look at them. They just even walk proudly. But Christians, even though God accepts us, brothers and sisters, let's not do this. Seriously, let's not do this. Let's stop this. Because what is more important to us? Our citizenship, Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven. You are not the same as non-Christians. They have their own father. Your father is different. You're not the same. Their father, John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. You are not like that. See, non-Christians, the world out there, they have their own father. And they will do the desire of their father, the devil. But you are not like them. Your father is God. And your desire is to obey your father, who is God. See? Even God approves. He gives a sign. Understand this. You cannot desire the same thing that the world desires. You cannot want what the world wants. Because the fact that you are the saints of God, you are the holy ones of God. Just if you accept that, then you cannot live like them. Unless you don't accept that. It's okay, brothers and sisters. I don't know. Maybe, you know, me saying to you it's okay doesn't really mean to you, but it's okay if you don't succeed in this world. Truly, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, you being lazy, that is not okay. You should do your best. But it's okay to fail in this world. Because according to this world, Jesus failed big time. But to us, he didn't fail. I mean, you tell me, like this person who goes to Harvard, he has to go to SAT classes so he can't even go to Bible study. He can't even go to, even skip worship sometimes because he needs to study SAT. So he goes to Harvard. What's so good about that? Do you think that is successful? Do you really think that's the way that you glorify God? And the church will read your name during the announcement time. Ooh, this person, he's accepted by Harvard. Now you really glorify God. Yeah? No, this church will not accept that kind of stuff. No, your name will never be announced during announcement time. If just because you have to come to worship, just because you have to come to Bible study, just because you have to come to church to serve and worship God so you may not go to good college, it is okay, brothers and sisters. It's really okay. Even if your mom and dad disagree, it is still okay. It's about what God says, how God approves. It's not even anything else. Because you are the holy ones of God. You are chosen for a purpose. And that purpose is not to accept it by this world. Please, God did not choose you so that you will be accepted by this world. Oh, man. Chapter 1, verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Your sins have been cleansed. You have been given the new heart, the heart that loves Christ. Ezekiel 36:26 speaks of the new covenant, and it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That has already happened to you in Jesus Christ. You are set apart unto God. Your life is for the glory of God. You have given the heart that desires Christ. And with that heart, you love Him. Brothers and sisters, please do understand. You are the holy ones of God. You have been chosen by God. And you have now new purpose. Unless the Bible is wrong, this is your life. Now, you know, I don't want to say too much about this next item, but, you know, Roman Catholics, they call only certain people saints, like Saint Augustine. I'm not saying Augustine is not saint. He is. But the Bible teaches us that all of us are saints. Because Paul is writing to Christians in Ephesus, Ephesian church, and he calls all of them saints. And he does not even say, this is where the membership of church becomes very important. He does not even really say, only the true saints in Ephesian church. No, he treats every member of that church equally. They're saints. Until they will prove themselves not to be saints by being excommunicated by the church. But unless that happens, every member of Ephesian church, God calls them saints. Paul calls them saints. Now, if he is writing to Christ and Heaven, OPC, he's going to call all of you who are a member of this church saints. Because we've been talking about this a long time now. He ministered to His people through the ministry of His church. Church has either bind or loose. Church made its decision. And that decision stands. You have been received as a member of this church. Unless this church is not true church, the decision to make you member of this church, you now have right to call yourself saints. Because church will let you know. As soon as they see that you're not saint, they will let you know. This church will definitely let you know. So be confident until that happens that you are a saint. So, you know, every time I do this Bible study, I have to say this, right? Please call me Saint Kim. You know, I never hear you guys call me that. Well, I guess I never call you that either. So let's start doing that. All right? Saint Ben, Saint Peter, Saint Kim, Saint Young. It says, we are also faithful. You are the ones that exercise faith. Go to John 20. John chapter 20, verse 27. John chapter 20, verse 27. You know, this is about, we talked about this chapter during our Sunday worship, right? So I don't think I need to explain the background. Jesus is resurrected. Thomas still did not see resurrected Lord, so he says, until I see him, I'm not going to believe that he is resurrected from the dead. So Jesus appears to him and he says to Thomas, verse 27, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. It says that word be believing is the same Greek word that you see here, the faithful. So we understand then this, when God says you are faithful, you are what? You're believing people. Understand? You are believing people. You are the believers. Now, question is then, what do we believe? And I'm not going to answer that question today because it's going to take so much time. But, minimum. Well, we could say we believe in Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He lived that righteous life for us. We believe that He did that for us in our place. We believe He's God. And so on and on and on. We could say so many things. But we are the faithful. We are the believers. Don't be unbelieving. He says, be faithful. Meaning He's saying to you, be believing. So, Paul calls Christians, saints, and faithful believers. Jesus is not someone who will make you rich or healthy. That's not what we believe. Because if Jesus promised us, Christians, He's going to make us rich and healthy, then something is really wrong, because look out in the world. Who is really rich and healthy? Non-Christians. We have to admit that non-Christians are actually richer than Christians. But if that was our God's promise to Christians, then what's going on? That's not our belief. He could make you rich, He could make you poor, He could make you, you know, healthy, He could make you not healthy. He never promised any of that. It could happen to you or it may not happen to you. Just like it could happen to some non-Christians and it may not happen to other non-Christians. So when we say we are the faithful, we believe. The question is, what do we believe? And this is very important. Because if you believe in wrong things or false things, then you're not really faithful. When we say the faithful, we're not just saying we're good people. Because this may shock you. But you know, there's so many good people who are in hell right now. So that is not our thing. Christianity is not about being a good people. Understand? Because so many good people go to hell. What are we talking about if we're not talking about being good people? We're talking about being faithful, believing, believers. That's what we're talking about. If you believe, you go to heaven. Not because you're good, you go to heaven. Because you believe. And even that believing is something that God has to wrought in, right? It's not something you could make, you could create. Because faith is gift from God. But all that aside, it's not about being good. It's about having faith, believing. It's okay. Again. You know, some people, they're so arrogant, they think they're the most worst kind of person in the whole world that God cannot even save them. Ooh, arrogance. He's so bad, even God cannot save him. Give me a break. See, he says things like that to be humble. But he's being arrogant. You are the believing people. And of course, when we say faithful, there is also this meaning that you are dependable, you are trustable, you are faithful. Because you have the genuine faith in Jesus Christ, you are also faithful, you are trustable, you are dependable. That I could depend on you, that you will never forsake Jesus. I cannot trust you in many things. When I say you are dependable to me, I'm not saying that you will never lie to me, that you will never cheat on me. No. You'll do that, and I'll do that to you. But you are dependable to me because you will never, never forsake Jesus Christ. You will be faithful to the end. Because Jesus works in you. So I could trust you to be next to me when we get home. See, that's why even if you do some wrong things to me, I could always come back to this, that even though you're just so, whatever word that you want to use, one thing is for sure, that you will stand right next to me in that glorious place when we praise God and worship God together forever and ever. And sometimes that's all it takes for me to accept you, no matter how bad things you do to me. And, you know, I'm not saying you're going to do all that to me, but I'm trying to make a point. You are faithful. I could depend on you. And you could depend on me. In Jesus Christ, we'll all be there, loving the same Jesus forever and ever. I could trust you in that. I could trust you no matter how bad you will be, you know, like tomorrow or in 10 years or how much you're going to lie, how much you're going to steal. I mean, all that might happen, but I could still trust you that you will be there. You will see me. I will see you in heaven. I could trust you. And you could trust me. We're faithful.
understand? We're faithful ones.
Your faith will not fail. Ultimately, it will not fail. Not because you are able to keep the faith on your own strength, but because God keeps your faith. Mark chapter 4 verse 20 says, "And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 60, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Luke chapter 22. I guess we look at the concept of in Christ next time because we only have like 5 minutes left. But I'm going to finish this section that we are saints, but we are also faithful. And this is the verse that I want you to look. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. And I think you already know the background of this, right? If you look at 31, let me just read verse 31. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded a permission to sift you like wheat. But Jesus says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. You will be faithful, not because you are able to be faithful on your own strength, but you will be faithful because Jesus prays for you that your faith will not fail." Jesus Christ is praying for you that your faith may not fail to the end. Thus, you will be faithful. You are faithful in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is what Christianity is all about. It's believing. Now, you may look at yourself and you say, "I'm not a saint." And you may look at yourself and say, "I'm not faithful." True. But you say that because you look at yourself apart from Christ, which you cannot do any longer. Because there is no you apart from Christ any longer. There is no such thing. There is no you apart from Christ. From now on, you will never be apart from Christ. So you can't even think yourself or look at yourself or whatever yourself. You cannot do it apart from Christ anymore. Because there is no such reality. So don't. Yes, you are not a saint. Yes, you are not faithful. Of course not. But understand what Christ has accomplished for you. What Christ has done for you. He made you a holy one. He made you a faithful one. And even when you're not, you will. Even when you're not, you are. Because it's not about what you do. It's not about you on your own. I'm not teaching that. Because if it is on your own, I will not teach it. Because will all fail and there's no hope. I know you're going to fail. I know I'm going to fail. If you think anything other than that, you don't even know who you are. You don't even know how you are. Just drop that concept. You're not going to do anything. What are you going to accomplish? What? What are you going to accomplish? Well, worldly, okay, you could accomplish whatever, but big deal, go ahead. Let's see how worldly accomplishment will do for you spiritually. We're talking about spiritual things. What can you accomplish? What? So let's understand this. Just drop that concept. You will not be able to do anything when it comes to spiritual things. Apart from me, you cannot do anything, Jesus says. Period. But we're talking about what Christ has accomplished. I'm here to teach you what Christ has accomplished, what Christ has done for you. That's what I'm here to teach. I don't really want to hear what can you do? What will you do? But listen to what Christ has accomplished. He made you holy ones. He made you faithful ones. Believe it, brothers and sisters. Believe. And only then, when you do believe, you will act like one. And if you don't believe and you act like one, then you're faking it. And let's see how far that faking goes. You have to believe. By faith, you will sanctify. By faith. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that you are saints? Do you believe that you are faithful ones? That is whom Jesus made you to be by his work? Do you believe it? Do you believe what God says? Believe, brothers and sisters. Because I think so many people just, oh yeah, I believe, but they don't believe. They really don't believe it. Believe, this is who you are. Even when you don't think so. This is who you are. Because this is the Word of God. This is the truth. Not what you think or not what you hear from the world. See, that is why I could do this pastor work. And I want you to understand this so that you will be able to function as a good member of this church. Because if I start looking at you in the perspective of this world, then what do I see? Just like your pastor, you're nobody in this world. You really think you're somebody in this world? Who knows you? Who knows me? Let's stop this pretending. You're nobody. I'm nobody. And you're not going to be anybody. What kind of talk is this? Well, we don't have time to go into all that, but we'll do that next time. We're nobody. And I look at you, you have so much bad habits just like me. When I look at you, you have so much stupid characteristics just like me. You have some dumb personality just like me. You might not even be lovable. There's a chance that I might not even like you. But if I look at you in the perspective of the Bible, I really look at you, who you really are in Christ. You are saints. You are faithful ones. How can I not love you? How is that possible if this is who you are? Understand our relationship. Let's not kid ourselves. You and me, our relationship is in terms of Christ. If other than that, I might not even talk to you. Give me a break. I might not even want to see you. Some of you, at least, I really. But because of Christ, I have to love you. But it's not just have to. I do love you because of Christ. I cannot not love you if I understand Christ. If I understand what He has done. If I understand what He has accomplished. There's no way I cannot love you. Because just meaning of existence, meaning of living, I have to love you. Because that is who I am in Christ. Understand? That is who you are in Christ. To anything other than this, we're denying who we are in Christ. Why would I deny who I am in Christ? It might sound very cold, but if Christ is removed between you and me, then you and I will have nothing to do with one another. You don't mean anything to me, and I don't mean anything to you, because we're going to go to hell and we're going to hate one another forever and ever. That's what happens if Christ is removed between you and me. Let's not kid ourselves. But because of Christ, everything changes. I don't want you to just love me. I really don't. I want you to love me because of Christ. Do you understand this, brothers and sisters? Because your love for me, apart from Christ, means nothing to me. Even my wife's love for me, apart from Christ, means nothing to me. Understand. Christ changes everything. And we have completely different reality. We have new life. We have new meaning, new purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what your Son has accomplished for you, for us. We thank you that we have this new life in Christ. Oh Father, how joyous it is to live this life for you. Life in Christ. Life with Christ. Life with brothers and sisters in Christ. Now and forever. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.